You are listening to a sermon recorded in 2007 at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or be distributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Letter writing is obviously an art and a skill. It's something to be mastered, and it's a craft that can be developed. And once a letter is written, posted, or emailed, there's no retrieval. You hit the send button and it's gone. The words have been sent, and the impact is not always what we want, regardless of our intentions. At one point, Tina and I completed an evaluation report on a project in which we were involved. We said some good things about the organization and we made some suggestions for change. A number of months later, we got a critical letter from the administrator. The administrator was not happy with our evaluation, and our behavior was criticized, and there was a long two-page justification by the administrator for all kinds of things. And we wondered, what should we do in response? So we finally decided to respond with a brief two-page, two-paragraph letter. We apologized for the hurt we had caused, and we pointed out that this administrator had asked a number of times for an evaluation. We said that when asking for an evaluation, it's possible we might hear some good things and some not so good things. And if the administrator didn't want to hear our comments, then we shouldn't have been asked for an evaluation. We also said that we hoped that the good work of the organization would continue. We sent that letter, and we never got a response. Well, this incident raises the two things that I want to talk about today: letter writing and confrontation. The administrator obviously felt threatened and confronted by our evaluation. Should we have ignored the critical letter we received in response to our evaluation? Were we too blunt? How should we respond when confronted? When is it appropriate to confront someone? How best do we do that? In person? On phone? By letter? Through an intermediary? Letter writing in our day has largely been replaced by email, but it still remains important, whether done by pen and paper or electronically. And fortunately, we have Bonhoeffer's Letters from Prison. We have C.S. Lewis's Letters to Malcolm. Important documents. And I know at least one person in this church who carries on what I consider a very effective letter ministry by email. I recently found some guidelines for letter writers. Keep it short and to the point. Be concise and focused. Try not to exceed one page or you're liable to lose a reader. If you can't get your point made in one page, you haven't done enough preparatory work. Well, if this also holds true for sermons, I'm in trouble because I'm already on page two. Reread and revise. Check spelling and grammar. St. Paul did not follow most of those rules in his second letter to the Church of Corinth. His letter was not short and to the point. It exceeded one page. And we don't know how many rewrites he did. I expect he did none. In Paul's day, letters were usually written on parchment, or I don't know how to pronounce this, papyrus. Parchment was made of leather. Papyrus is made from Egyptian riverbed reeds. Neither of these provided a smooth writing surface. The pen Paul used was probably a goose quill, the ink a mixture of carbon and glue. Writing was slow, very slow. An hour's work produced about 70 words, about 7 lines on one of my pages. So that's about 1 word per minute. Writing was a tedious task, and obviously allowed a lot of thinking time. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, about 2 pages, took about 20 hours to write. The scholars estimate that it would have taken Paul at least 32 days to write the letter to the Romans. 11 pages in my Bible. Writing a personal letter remains a wonderful and warm expression of thoughtfulness and appreciation. Letters and personal notes carry more weight than Hallmark cards. Letters to the editor are popular and well read. And one friend tells me that when she gets her church papers, the only thing she reads are the letters to the editor and the obituaries. Editors of church papers often get in trouble and are criticized when they print letters that do not coincide with the denomination's beliefs. One editor said that we should view letters to the editor as it would a congregational meeting. Many views might be expressed, but they do not necessarily represent the views of the church or the congregation's position on an issue. It is still important that we hear all voices. I often wonder about letters to the editor, so a couple weeks ago I called the Vancouver Sun and asked to speak to the person who edits the letters to the editor, and I was put through to Cheryl. So I told her I was preparing a sermon, and I wanted some information from her. She said, "Oh, what church do you go to?" So we talked about church for a while. And she said she gets between 100 and 150 letters every day, virtually all by email. And if she gets some handwritten or typewritten, they aren't used for sure because they don't have the time to transcribe them. She says she likes her job. She says it's like Christmas every day. You get to open all these letters, and you wonder what's going to be on the inside. Of the 100 to 150 she receives, between 7 and 10 are selected for publication. Paul's letters were personal, were specific, and what surprised me was that they were not intended for general reading. And Paul wrote a lot of long letters, and sometimes I wonder why. Surely he could have summarized something simple there. Maybe the answer is that Paul was a lousy speaker. In chapter 10, he writes, "For some say about Paul, his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing." That's what Paul's critics said. Peterson puts it more bluntly. "His letters are brawny and potent, but in person he is a weakling and mumbles when he talks." Paul obviously did not have the benefit of attending Toastmasters. Well, in introducing this series so recently, Veronica mentioned that Paul wrote more than 2 letters to the church at Corinth. And this is borne out in today's scripture because the passage refers to the sorrow that Paul caused by writing my letter. And that's a letter that's sometimes referred to as a letter of tears or a letter of sorrow, or a severe letter. And we don't have that letter, which is unfortunate. So we don't know exactly what was in it. We don't know who it was directed to. It was probably about the church letting a wrongdoer go unchecked. But we don't know what the wrong was, or who it was. But it must have been a blunt and tough letter. Paul says, "I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while." And that brings us to the matter of confrontation. Obviously, Paul thought that these folks needed straightening out, so he sent them this severe letter. And he has mixed feelings about having sent it. He regretted sending it. Then when he heard that it had the desired result, he was happy he had sent it. And in retrospect, Paul was aware that what he wrote could easily have sounded as if he was blaming and passing judgment. "I grieved you with my letter," he said. And he's concerned that they don't misunderstand him. Yet now Paul says he's happy he sent it, not because the letter caused sorrow, but because the letter produced repentance and change. Well, Paul was lucky. He got the response he wanted. I wonder what Paul would have said if the result had been different. That is, if the Corinthians had reacted with hostility. And if the Corinthians had reacted with anger, would 2 Corinthians be a different letter today? And then he goes on to describe their reaction to his letter. There is sorrow, actually Paul calls it godly sorrow, sorrow that causes regret, indignation, alarm, and concern. There's defensiveness or an eagerness to clear oneself. There is a regret that led to repentance, and there was a readiness to see justice done. So Paul was lucky. He was happy. The response was what he wanted. And I don't quite understand Paul's next comment, because he says, at every point you have proved yourself to be innocent in this matter. Well, if they were innocent, then why did he need to write them in the first place? Or was the church innocent and only one misbehaving member guilty? We don't know. At any rate, Paul, in his severe letter, confronted the Corinthians. Confrontation is not easy or pleasant for most of us. We tend to shrink from it, avoid it, or rationalize away its necessity. And yet, at some point, confrontation becomes a Christian responsibility. And the Bible is full of accounts of confrontation and responses to confrontation. It starts with Adam and Eve, and God asks Adam, "What have you done?" A very simple, blunt, direct question. What have you done? Abraham and Lot had a problem. There was too much livestock, and there were disputes between their herdsmen over access to water and grazing land. The land could not support both. So, what do you do? Abraham takes a noble route to resolve this, and he says to Lot, "Let's not quarrel about this. You decide what you want. You want to go to the left, I'll go to the right. You want to go to the right, I'll go to the left." So that was a very peaceful resolution to the conflict. David and King Saul had a stormy relationship. Saul felt threatened by David and wanted to kill him. David was the one who had the opportunity to kill Saul, and he found him sleeping in a cave. But he didn't do it. Instead, he just cut a piece out of his garment. Just a little bit of a reminder to Saul that he had been there. Well, that's another way of dealing with conflict. Don't harm your opponent. In the New Testament, there are numerous references to conflict. Jesus and his disciples. The disciples had problems understanding what Jesus was trying to teach them. He had to keep clarifying and explaining so that they might understand. And I guess that's another strategy for dealing with conflict. Explain yourself a little more clearly. Jesus had no problems with the religious leaders of his day. And this ended up in a whole series of confrontations and resulted in Jesus' death. Jesus didn't resist this. He could have called out his army of angels, but he didn't. Sometimes you have to face the bitter end and not retaliate. Paul. Most of Paul's letters were written to correct errors, so there was confrontation involved. 2 Corinthians is full of concern, compassion, confrontation, affirmation, and encouragement. Paul wasn't very subtle when he wrote. To the Galatians he said, "You crazy Galatians, did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses?" Well, that's not very subtle. That's just hitting pretty hard. Paul confronted the Corinthians directly, despite how much he stood to lose. It was quite a risk. He did it because he valued his relationship with the church more than his own reputation. Most of us will seek redress for a wrong done to us. This is especially the case where our rightful authority has been challenged and our reputation defamed. The stakes were even higher for Paul because it was his apostolic authority that was being attacked. His reputation as Christ's ambassador was on the line. Yet his primary concern throughout is his relationship to the congregation. All else is secondary. Even the injustice and public humiliation that he suffered. And maybe that's the key to confrontation. Will this hurt the relationship? Paul was happy because the church at Corinth was not harmed in any way by the severity of his letter. The Corinthians must have been hurt by what Paul wrote, but they did not allow their hurt to deepen into bitterness and resentment. They were able to get past their hurt, to see that Paul's rebuke rang true and that they needed to change their ways. In conclusion, I want to remind us of something that Paul wrote to the Corinthians way back at the start of this letter. He said, "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read just by looking at you." I'm going to repeat that last line. Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read just by looking at you.